Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. Welcome to this month's episode of Growing Consciousness. I'm Coach Sayre, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Dr. Chan. Dr. Chan,
hello,
are you
welcome.
With us?
Yes, I am. Hello, and welcome to Growing Consciousness.
And we're also joined by Colleen Diedrich for this month's episode, in which we'll be discussing body image, confidence, sex, and self-esteem. We'll be discussing how important it is for us as women to love our bodies, you know, how our body image affects our confidence, sex life, and self-esteem from time to time, and how we can learn to love our bodies more. Imagine how having a positive body image can impact on that of our daughters, nieces, and younger women in our communities. Colleen is the creative director and founder of Pervida, who have recently launched a campaign called the Goddess Campaign, which is all to do about positive body image for women. Colleen, welcome. Welcome to another episode.
Welcome back, Colleen. How are you doing?
I am fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, as always. Right. So, Colleen, Pervida, the Goddess Campaign, I was lucky enough to be able to see the film that you recently launched. I'm right in saying that it has been launched, yes?
Yes.
Well, needless to say, I loved it because here you are back with us again because I think body image, positive body image is so important, especially for us as women, not just for us as women. Guys, I don't want the men to feel left out or as if, you know, they don't have body image issues. But in regards to this campaign, it's all about, you know, the feminine. And I guess I want to hear more about it. I would love to hear what inspired you. What inspired that concept for you?
Okay, so my business Pervida, it's pretty much geared at, I'm focusing primarily on women, yeah? Helping them to get to a place that they are comfortable in their skin so they can be more authentic in their expression. You know what I mean? To own their feminine power. So coming out of workshops, and I have, you know, sensual dance classes, I do lap dance classes. I have a process that I take the women through in the lap dance classes, and pretty much is just having them walk towards the mirror and to tell me first and foremost, you know, the parts of their bodies that they like, yeah, the parts of their bodies that they absolutely adore. And I cannot begin to tell you, out of if I do that process for if I have a class of 10 ladies, at least eight of them going to walk to the mirror and tell me the things they don't like. Everybody's extremely conscious, and all they can find is faults upon top of faults upon top of faults, yeah? I say to them all the time that, and we are looking on, but the persons who are looking on are absolutely floored because we're just looking at the perfection. We are able to see, the, you know, the beauty in these women, but so many of them fail to see it in themselves. And it's been going on over and over again in workshops. I watch gorgeous women walk in, and whenever it is that we start to have a conversation about whatever my topic is, I find that, oh my goodness, you just watch them just kind of cowering, just kind of shrinking away, making themselves small, you know. And it in September of last year, the idea came to me that no, I am going to have to do something about it. I want to not just work on them whenever it is that I have them, you know, in a workshop or in my dance class, but to do something bigger on a grander scale. And so I decided that the thought came to me that, you know, I should do a film. I should do a film. So the concept came to me in September, and I didn't actually do it until January. January, I got the ladies together. I cannot begin to tell you what a task it was to get ladies together to talk about body image issues, because everybody was comfortable until I told them, okay, we're going to have to take off our clothes and we're going to have to strip down to brassieres, bra and panties. And look here, everybody went running. Everybody went running from there. I hear, and it was a wide gamut of explanations, boy, work, and it might be conflicting with work and how they might be perceived in the public eye, this, that, and the devil knows what else. And, but primarily it was, I am not comfortable. I have dealt with some of my body image issues, but truth be told, you're putting me on the spot. You mean take off my clothes and video and photograph? No, I am not comfortable. So I want to applaud the very few brave ladies. I think it was, three or four ladies who decided to take this journey with me. I want to applaud them because I know it took a lot, you know, for them to stand up in front of the camera and talk about, you know, their insecurities, what was once, you know, an insecurity for them, and to actually strip down. But what I can say is that it was extremely cathartic, you know what I mean? To face it, to face it and to recognize that this thing that has the capacity to be so incapacitating, crippling, you know what I mean? Really and truly, whenever it is that you sit down and put some thought behind it, it has no place. It really has no place. I remember with myself, and this was, you know, part of the reason I felt that I didn't just want to interview these ladies, but I wanted to be one of them as well, because I was also afflicted. For years, I used to struggle with the size of my breasts. If my sisters have gorgeous, well, voluptuous, buxom ladies, you know, and I am the only one. I'm on the smaller end of the gene pool. And so I kept saying to myself, I don't know what is happening. And for years I flirted with the idea of augmenting my breast. You know what I mean? And then one day it dawned on me. It was coming out of conversation that it dawned on me that, look here, if I come into 6,000 or 8,000 US at this point, am I really and truly going to spend that on a rack? Am I going to put breast in? I can't live in my breast. They're not going to drive me around. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so I got to the place where I said, you know what? These breasts have served me well. I've never met a man who decided that he wasn't going to talk to me because my breasts were too small. And they fed my child. My daughter was premature, and I had the most milk on the ward. You know what I mean?
Wow.
When I started to put things into perspective, I said, look here now, look here. Get a grip, sweetheart. Get a grip. And more than anything else, it was important now to have women have that conversation, because most of us struggle with the body image issues, but never really talk about it, never really have the avenue to sit down and dissect and think about really and truly what is it that's bothering me at the end of the day. Is this a bigger deal than I am making it out to be? So that's what the campaign is, really just to create a space that a woman can examine this thing that I have been I've been holding on to, this thing that has been preventing me from shining my shine, you know, from becoming, you know, showing all of who I am, my effervescence, and embracing all of that. Where it come from? And at this point, does it really have any value?
Yes.
Is it still true? You know what I mean? What is it that I have been telling myself that has been feeding this thing? So
let me ask, Colleen, having said that, about where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? Because we know that, as you say, a lot of very confident women, we know women especially in the Caribbean, North America, the UK, Europe, most of these cultures are raised, or nowadays, is that, you know, women have a place in society. You can choose what you want to do, whether it's to have a career or to be a homemaker, whatever suits your fancy. We have that choice for the most part. So what is it that is really where we might be very confident as mothers or confident as business women? What is it that makes us, as you said, where does it come from where we don't feel comfortable or happy with our bodies as they are? Have you found anything in your workshops, your dealings, your interactions with persons?
Yes, and what I will tell you is this. First and foremost, our concept of self really is formed by persons telling us who we are. As kids, we start to tell our children, you're beautiful, you're so sweet, oh my goodness, you're so tall, your hair is gorgeous, and we hear these things all the time. But then there is also the reverse, especially for the Caribbean woman or the woman of African descent, yeah? Pretty much there is a lot of complaining, and even parents and loved ones persons within that immediate circle or influence or circle of influence as children pretty much start to tell us that we're too black, the nose too broad. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of that situation where the grandmother then pinching the nose. Children are grow up with what they're called now, close to their nose to try and make the nose straighter. They're being told that they're too dark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they're being told that they're too dark, that they hear too rough and crusty. And it's
and I've heard that one, you know, Colleen. I've seen for myself where I remember someone that we know, she has two children, and, you know, one of the parents is of Indian descent. And a relative came and looked at the two children, the little boy and little girl, and said, Lord God, is that pity is the boy, get the good hair.
Exactly. And we don't understand how it is that this resonates and stays with the children. Because
in front of the children, exactly.
Exactly. We have a tendency to say it in front of them and to say it to them consistently. A lot of single moms are guilty of chasing, you know, cutting out the kids. You walk looks like your father, your dad looks like you get your father, dirty complexion. I mean, these are the things that we say to our girls. Over and over, not just to our girls, we also say it to our boys. You know what I mean? So I'm not suggesting or in any shape, size, or form that, you know, women are the only ones that struggle with body image issues. Boys and men struggle with it just the same, and they don't have no kind of avenue to express that. But my focus really is on the women, and so what I find is that we are constantly being bombarded. Then there is media tell us again that we need to look like one of the beauty queens, because this is pretty much what
and
we put out there.
And the standard of beauty for the beauty queen is a European standard of beauty.
There we go. And
your hair must be long and straight. If not, you put in a long weave.
Thank you.
And your nose must be pointy, as you say, pointy and straight.
That's it.
If it is that you don't have
and your skin must be light.
If you don't have the Eurocentric accent, you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden, then you miss the mark. So the black woman, I mean, she should
be
under the
line. And you must be skinny
too. There you go.
No curves. You must be angular.
I come back to the black woman's plight, because most of us are curvaceous, yeah? Lots of us are full of the hips and the behind and the breast and whatever else. So we don't necessarily fit that mold. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And so the struggle to fit in. And if it is that you're constantly being bombarded by these agents of socialization, these things that are telling us who we are supposed to be, then
cable, magazine.
There you go. There's massive confusion, and there's so much emphasis on who the woman is supposed to be. What is a sexy woman? What's a gorgeous woman? And how it is that she, you know, she navigates herself in society? How it is that she needs to look in order to fit in with a certain echelon of society, that kind of a thing. So constantly, if this is the message that we are sending women, then over a period of time, we begin to feel that we aren't enough. And as parents, what I find is that we fail to educate our kids in the whole idea of self-love, because as parents, a lot of us don't love ourselves. A lot of us still uncertain as to who we are, still trying to fit in, still trying to negotiate our ourselves, you know, in society, that kind of a thing. So we don't know. We don't have the wherewithal to pass on to our kids that, you know, the idea of self-love and self-acceptance, and it has to start there. So this is the crux of the challenge for us as women.
Yeah, and the thing is about that is that it actually falls upon us as parents, as mothers, as black mothers. So it makes our job harder, but it makes it more important for us to realize our own beauty in order for us to pass that on to our children, you know? So where do we go from here? How do we learn? What are some of the techniques you teach in learning to love for our bodies?
The first thing that I will say to women is half the time we start to feel less than on the basis of comparison. I know for me that was definitely the case, yeah? And comparing ourselves is a natural human phenomenon. It's how it is that we strive and achieve and become, you know, our best self, this kind of a thing. But it's also how it is. It can be a two-sided sword in the sense that it's also the way that we pretty much kill ourselves. we kill ourselves trying to be like the Joneses. We want to get this and put ourselves in disadvantageous positions, trying to measure up to somebody else. So I say to women all the time, what you have to recognize is that you are a unique mold. There's only one of you. Even if it is that you're a twin, there's still only one of you. That mold was made and it was destroyed. So the thing is, you have to recognize your uniqueness and the things that make you stand out, the things that make you different. So most of us are striving to be alike, and that is where we're striving to be a part of, and that is where a lot of our issues stem. You know, a lot of them come from. I am trying to look like Beyonce. I want to have, I need to have Solange's face. I need to have her figure. But I was designed to be a size 10. You know what I mean? My body is curvaceous, and no matter how I work out or whatever else, I will never get rid of the hips. I will never get rid of the behind. I will never look like, you know, what it is that the Europeans say that I ought to, you know, I need to align with in order to be beautiful. So I say to them, understand and recognize your uniqueness and appreciate that. You know what I mean? Get to the place that we start to highlight the things that make us different, but make us beautiful in the process, and recognize that these things make us beautiful. Not, you know, it's not looking at the differences and wishing to God that I could align with the group. It's looking at the differences and saying to myself that this is what makes me Colleen. There will never be another Colleen.
Yeah.
Colleen is, it was designed to be shaped this way. Colleen was designed to have size A breasts. You know what I mean? And this is how it works.
Yeah.
This is how it works. When I get to the place that I am unique, and this is my mold, this is my unique, this is my divine creating me the best way that he or she thought, whatever it is that I consider the divine to be, thought I ought to be. You know, this is the vehicle that I was given to carry me through life. When I can accept that, then I start the journey. When I accept that I am unique, then I can start looking at the things that make me beautiful, the things that make me different. Yet my hips mightn't be as big as Beyonce's, but they're carrying me through life. I have a structure that carries my frame through life. Exactly. I'm able to do the things that as a human being I want to be able to do, and my frame is facilitating that process. So I have childbearing hips. So while they mightn't be flaring, you know what I mean, I don't have the hourglass figure happening, I have childbearing hips, and what is the proof? I have a child. And she's healthy, she's strong, she's gorgeous. My color is what it needs to be in order to take me through life, and it's gorgeous. So I need to treat my skin well.
Colleen, as you said that about the color and the skin, your video, I must commend you on the work that you're doing. But there's another video that has been floating around. I don't know if you have seen it. I just saw it. I think it was last night. Somebody sent it to me. A video of a woman in Jamaica, and she had, like, I don't know if it was her daughter or a younger person, helping her to bleach her skin. So they were standing outside, and she was naked, and she was being rubbed down with this bleaching cream, and her daughter was helping her to rub down her skin. So the discussion around that was centered around, one, the self-loathing, where you don't like your skin color, you're not accepting this, literally not accepting the skin that you're in, and you're trying to change it using very damaging chemicals was one. But then the other discussion centered around that was how uninhibited at the same time this woman was, because she was naked, being having another child or something film her while rubbing this bleaching. So it was like almost like a contradiction, like I'm comfortable enough to be naked, but I'm not comfortable with the color of my skin. How do we navigate those kind of complex spaces and issues around body image and self-love? Because, I'm comfortable enough being naked and having my video sent around with me being naked, but at the same time, I hate the skin the skin that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. You see, again, we come back to trying to fit in. And a lot of, especially in the Jamaican scenario, a lot of women, usually from the lower socioeconomic background, are of the belief that it is, if I am of light, if my skin is lighter, then this facilitates my upward social mobility, I will be recognized. There was a video that was carried, I think it was All Angles, they did a feature, the same bleaching thing, you know what I mean? And pretty much what it is that the ladies were saying is, if for me to be a hairdresser downtown, I have to, but for me to get clients, I need to be lighter skinned. Nobody's going to come to me like that. and crossed it, as you know, how it is that they refer to themselves. If I dark and crossed and, you know, me too dark, then I won't get any business. It's also believed that if I'm too dark, then I won't get a man. And a lot of women have affixed these things to their ability to move forward. I can get finances. I get a man, then he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my children. In order to secure a man, I need to be of a lighter hue. So there is the tendency to believe that all things that are light, and you will find that this is slavery retention. A lot of Caribbean countries, you know, suffer from this kind of mentality. You understand what I mean? There's this tendency to believe that which is lighter is best. That which is lighter is beautiful. And we haven't done enough work as a country to educate our girls. You know what I mean? And the videos, again, where is it that we are taking our cues? Because this is the only thing that's talking to us about sex. This is the only thing that's talking to us about body image. You know what I mean? These are the things that we're constantly being bombarded, because if we're not getting it from our immediate circle, our parents not talking to us about it, our grandparents are reinforcing, because they're so close to slavery. A lot of them are reinforcing these negative, you know, beliefs about black skin. Because I've heard many, many situations, women have sat in you know, my workshop talking about where it is that they got their insecurity. I remember talking to a lady in particular, and she's saying, gorgeous dark-skinned woman, you know, gorgeous can't done dark-skinned woman. And she said, listen, she has to marry a light-skinned man, and she was determined that it has to happen. And I said, why? She said two things. He has to have money, and he has to be light-skinned, because I suffered as a child in school. I was the black picnic. Teachers refer to me as that black picnic that would give ourselves so much trouble. So constantly it is being reinforced that black is awful. Black is no good. You get what I mean? And as children, this is what we are being told. Now, recognize what's happening. It was her daughter that was rubbing on the bleach. So already subconsciously, that child is learning, taking the cue. That, look here, listen, in order for me to strive, in order for me to get ahead, I am going to have to be light-skinned. And so I can't imagine the amount of times I worked in the school. You know, we used to implement behavior modification programs in high school. And listen to me, I went home with a couple of those kids, so-called troubled kids, and I decided it was important for us to go home and see what's happening. I've never seen a child, you know, that was dysfunctional just so. They're a product of their environment, and usually the best place to find the dysfunction is at home. That's where it starts. I went home with a lot of these kids, and there was this particular lady who was beating her grandson into the ground. And when I tell you that the beating, I mean that part of slavery, them having kneeled down upstairs in the gravel on the hot concrete.
Torture.
There. Yes, and they're beating him with wire because he's bleaching. Grandmother is bleaching, mother is bleaching. I mean, bleach to the skin raw, you know. And I am looking at, he is able to access the bleaching cream because it is there on their dressers. So I'm saying we are constantly reinforcing that lighter is better. And so we don't business now. How detrimental.
And in different ways too, you know, Colleen, because I know of people who they will say, okay, I don't know why my children have complexes, whether it be, you know, wherever they live in the world. And then at the same time, but you're wearing a weave with straight hair, or you're wearing contact lenses and you turn your eyes green or brown, or and you don't realize that the message that you're sending, you may not say it with words, you may not be saying, well, white is better. You say, but I didn't tell my child that, but you're not telling it with words, you're telling it with your actions.
Absolutely. And the thing is this, you know, we're constantly modeling the behavior that is closest to us. The behavior that we have access to and the behavior that resonates. You know what I mean? By virtue of being around us constantly, by virtue of and a lot of us, as I said, grow up on the, especially in the lower socioeconomic background. Parents not talking to you. It's usually a cutout situation that's happening there. So where it is that you find solace is with the group on the side of the road, or you're watching the music videos. You're watching the music videos, and the music video is telling the girls that, listen to me, in order for you to get ahead, you're going to have to use your body. Man are going to want you for your body, and how your curvaceous and your breast stays so, and your behind stays so, man going to want you. But you know what I mean? In order to get this man that's going to pay for everything, you're going to have to be of a lighter shape. And so even when I look at the video, I saw the video that you're referring to. When I looked at the video, her standing there is, again, another reinforcement. Yes, it's confidence, but it's another reinforcement that this is my body. This is the body that's going to take me through life. You understand what I mean? And my being able to use it, my being able to show it, and that's my take. My being able to show it in this way affords me the ability to attract a man that will, in colloquial terms, that will mind me and that will mind my children. So that's what I got.
And the thing is,
and while I can't, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and fundamentally, the message is that we are not good enough. You are not good enough. You know?
As is, yes.
A too black, a too fat, a my bottom too big, my nose too big. I'm not good enough. And if you're watching your mother, you know, do all these...
No, you're helping her, not just watching. You are participating in rubbing the bleach on her skin.
Yes, you're applying it. So therefore,
you're applying it,
you
mother,
for
her. Getting on all the hard-to-reach places, the back, the bottom, the back of the legs.
Yes. And not only is my body not good enough, but I am not good enough is the general message that it sends. And that is the scary part. And, Lord, you know, it's like I'm listening and thinking, and the more I think, the more I realize how deep it is, how much work it's going to take, how much talking, how much... conversation.
To peel back the layers, absolutely.
Yes.
And so it's for that reason that the campaign is twofold. So I have, there's the Goddess campaign and then there's the Princess campaign, yeah? And all of this will be launched on May 30th. I'm having a free open forum. It's going to be at Kia Motors, May 30th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And pretty much it's free for women to come and talk about it. I'm using the film as the catalyst to start that conversation, to have us to start to look at ourselves and see if whether or not this is applicable to me, if it is, even if I didn't, suffer with body image issues, am I passing this on to the ladies that I'm close to my child, to my cousins, and this and that, yeah? And so then the intention now is to roll it out into the schools. I want to get into the schools because this is the preventative aspect of it. Because little girls turn into big women. And I'm looking at the big women now who are still struggling, who have just gotten to the place at 40, or some of us live and die and never accept ourselves, yeah? So I am at 40, and I recently accepted my breast. So I want to reach the girls where it starts, because a lot of us start to feel insecure about our bodies when we start to make that transition into womanhood. The breasts start to get bigger, the hips start to flare, we're not certain, we're getting attention from boys that a lot of us not certain how to navigate, because again, we don't talk to our girls, and we're very socially inept, extremely socially inept, and as parents, we are still uncomfortable, so we don't have this kind of dialogue, we leave it up to school and personal development classes or whatever else, and God bless what it is that you're being told, outside of to say that your body's going to get bigger, and this is biologically, this is what's happening, so we're not talking about emotionally what's happening. What's going to happen? How is this going to impact me when I start to feel separate and apart, that whole thing, where I don't look like the flock again. I'm looking different, and that thing that makes me feel abnormal. How do I accept my difference and recognize that, embrace the fact that I'm becoming a woman, and the fact that men are going to start to look at me in a certain way? How do I deal with that? How do I deal with this unwanted attention? Because you're not just getting the compliments enough. Somebody will tell you, boy, you look nice and thing, but other people will tell you all kind of things that they want to do to you. You understand what I mean? That makes us as little, that makes little girls feel so uncomfortable. So the other aspect of the campaign is
1 minute
there,
left.
And we have to go.
We have 1 minute left once again. Yes. Too short.
Colleen. Wonderful.
Quick question. How you find women react in conversation? Do you find that once women start talking about
their issues,
tell us
in like 30 seconds,
that it opens up?
Yeah, quick. This is the crux of the Farvida workshop. We are having open, honest dialogue. And you would be surprised. Disclosure breeds disclosure. As soon as, especially because we come in there comparing, and you see this woman and you figure that she has her stuff together until she opens her mouth and you realize, oh my goodness, we are the same. So then we start to talk. So once I disclose, and everybody
else creates
disclose.
Healing.
Absolutely.
It creates healing. It creates healing on some level. Fantastic.
On
Colleen,
yeah.
how can we find you? How can our listeners find you and find out about your events? Quick.
Oh, God. All right. Check a look at the film, Farvida Goddess Campaign, on YouTube. And then you can find me at Farvida Unleashed on Facebook.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Thank you once again.
It was great having you, Colleen, for joining us, for being such a wonderful guest.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to you all next month, first Wednesday of the month, same time, same place, on Growing Consciousness.